Welcome to the Mother Effer Podcast. I'm Beth.
And I'm Jessie.
We are two moms who are ready to stop being polite.
And start getting real about this thing called motherhood. Because motherhood is no joke, y'all.
So put on your big girl panties.
Grab a drink.
And let's do this thing.
Great. Okay, wonderful. Well, welcome back, Mother Effers. We haven't abandoned you.
We are back. Putting these shot glasses like right now. Because we just got the most beautiful shot glasses from Trinidad. Thank you, Dwayne.
Producer Dwayne.
And Jessie's art, she's like, it's so pretty. I don't know if I want to use it. And
I'm
like,
do you have anything to put in this
so we can do shots right now?
So Producer Dwayne is from Trinidad. And so he goes back every year.
Glenfiddich?
Oh, so he's showing us some options. And option one for the
Johnny Walker. I mean, I can do Johnny Walker, but isn't Glenfiddich like super nice?
Yeah, it's very fancy.
You shoot it?
You can sip it. You can sip it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take
whatever.
I don't know.
Just do whatever's open. I don't want to open his fancy stuff.
Yeah, that's fancy.
For like,
that's
you know,
for people that have money.
Legit people.
We're going to do the black label.
Oh. Well, thank you for giving us your friend's leftover shit.
That's not shit, though. We're both like,
I
don't feel right shooting that. You don't have any, like, Mad Dog 2020 somewhere or Boone's Farm, something cheap. Wild turkey.
Yes. Producer Dwayne is from Trinidad. He brought us back these gorgeous shot glasses, and they're hand-painted. And that's why I was concerned. I didn't want to wash it and then have the paint come off because it's so pretty.
I looked up where Trinidad and Tobago were because I didn't know.
I honestly can't. Yeah.
And I was like,
know.
But where is Dwayne right now?
But where is he? Because guys, he was in.
Where is he?
That's why we were gone for a couple weeks. Cause,
yeah, that's good.
Because our awesome producer was off in Trinidad.
He was home in the most beautiful place.
Gorgeous.
He was showing me videos. It's like.
Amazing. So tell me where it is because I don't know.
It's right above South America. Literally right above it.
What do you mean? Aren't we connected to South America?
By Mexico. But like, you know how South America has like that hump on the side over here? And I think that, what is that? Brazil or Colombia? Argentina?
Okay.
Is it Argentina?
I don't know.
Christ. Come on, you live close by.
Chile, Argentina, Venezuela.
Yeah. So okay. The top countries. And okay. I think it's Argentina.
Okay.
That they are closest to. Cool. I didn't realize it was so close to South America. So, I thought it was closer to like the Dominican.
Me too. That's exactly what I was picturing. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
No,
okay.
It's like the Dominican, a bunch of islands nobody's heard of before that are like super tiny and probably have either super wealthy people living on them or cults.
Or tribal people. Maybe people who
or
like
indigenous native people
cultures.
Who never even
Yeah, super
discovered,
cool.
Discovered, and
cultures.
Then it's South America. Or
okay.
Trinidad.
It looks gorgeous. He showed us some photos. It looks so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I've always wanted to like vacation in a place like that. Like, you know, like white, sugary beaches, clear blue water, not a child in sight. It just sounds
They do
amazing.
Have resorts that are child free.
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
saying. Like, you yeah. can plan that.
Yeah. I do not want to see one fucking child if I'm going to Trinidad. Not even a local child. Fuck you, local
Anybody
child.
Anybody under 10 is not. Is under 10 isn't allowed near me.
No,
no one within 500 feet.
Under 18.
If you bring your kids to the bar, I will sue you.
I will cut you.
Do you know how annoying I find that? Like going to a nice brewery because it's like you're not your weekend without the kids. I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know what that's like. Sure, my weekend without the kids, yeah.
It's like just brewery hopping and like everyone you go to is just full of fucking toddlers running wild because right. their parents are fighting over who gets to get drunk. It's like, I can't stand this. When did this begin?
Oh, my God. Since breweries became a family-friendly environment and atmosphere, yes.
Maybe I'm just an asshole. And I just am like,
I don't want to see kids.
I don't want kids seeing me get drunk, okay?
Right, exactly. I don't want to ruin your child's
childhood.
I want
to be able to curse.
Right, exactly.
Without feeling bad about it.
So we're going to take a drink. Are we shooting this or are we sipping it?
I don't know. I think I might shoot mine. That's the kind of day I had. But if you sip yours, I'm not going to be mad about it.
I'm going to sip it a little bit, but you shoot away.
Okay.
Yes.
I feel like, what are we drinking to? What are we cheersing to?
Oh,
what
happened? Right. I almost took a drink without cheersing to anything.
Here's
to getting back on track. We were gone for 3 weeks, motherfuckers. We are back. We barely made it here, by the way.
What is this, episode 3, and it's been 10 weeks?
We barely made it here because y'all know this fucking parenting thing is not easy. No. And especially when you're a working parent, it's even harder. Especially when you are a divorced parent, it's even harder.
It's just, living's hard.
So let's drink to just being back in the studio. Here. Fuck yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers, like, baby. Cheers.
Hit the table. I don't know what culture that's from. Chink. I said chink. What is wrong with me? I said that to my friend.
You can just have him cut it out.
But no, I've said that before, and it was with my friend Nick, who is Korean.
Yeah.
He's like, did you just call me a chink? I was like, no, it's a sound the glasses make. Right? He's like, mm-mm.
That's a derogatory racial slur.
Yeah. I'm like, I said it again. I don't gosh. I need to put an L in there. Shit.
You guys anyway. Are not even drunk. This is just our life. She shot it. Good girl.
Fuck it. That was the kind of day I've had.
Yes. Ooh. Let's do a little catching up because it's been a hot minute.
It has.
So our producer was away on vacay, and then last week Bethy Boy was not feeling good over there.
Oh my
god,
she was
not feeling good. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I was just,
yeah,
I was feeling not myself.
Good. No, so we're back in the studio, but you almost did not make it here. So what's going on? You were like
nothing.
Off this day.
nothing's going on. It's just, you know what I've learned this year. And I'm still learning, is when you set a boundary as a people pleaser, it is so nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because you set that boundary knowing full well you had every right to ask about it, you had every right to talk about it, every right to bring it up without feeling or being that person.
Yeah.
And that's just what I've been dealing with. It's like, do I get respect from people that I thought I get respect from? And I don't think I do. And you set a boundary and it's just disappointing. I'm really disappointed.
Mm. Yes, I totally.
I hate that. It's like, I am so disappointed. It's like, why weren't people raised the same way as I was?
Fucking, I know, Jesus.
It's dumb.
Yeah, I know. Well, not everybody's lucky to have your mom. She's amazing. But yes. No, yeah, it sucks. People are, they love to be able, I think, especially if you're a people pleaser, somehow we attract the opposite person of that who knows how to take advantage of a people pleaser. Right?
I know. And the thing about me, and I don't know if this is all people pleasers, but the thing about me is I am constantly saying, well, I bet they had a bad day. Well, I have, they're probably busy. Well, you know, whatever. People do this and that. I don't need to hear from somebody every day. That, like, I am constantly, oh, they've had a rough go at it.
Yeah.
Life's hard. And then it's like, your life is hard too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you need people in your life
to
acknowledge that.
Time, so,
right.
You need to realize that. And that's me. It's like, I'm trying to convince myself. I'm like, you deserve better.
Yep.
And that doesn't make you a bad person.
Right, exactly. You need to give to people who are also giving back in return, right? And, like that reciprocal relationship.
I don't know if it's because of the marriage I was in or whatever, but it's like I am struggling to get the bare minimum.
I also think part of it is that motherhood conditions us to be so sacrificial of everything that we are and everything that we have. And so
you
it's
want
almost
to be
like,
needed, because when you're not needed, you're like, now what's my fucking identity? Because this is all I've done for the last 20 years. Like,
and we're so good at making ourselves feel guilty when we're not giving all of ourselves to our children, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so if we hold anything for ourselves or put ourselves first in any way, something inside us is triggered where we're just like, oh, fuck, no, this isn't right.
Right.
This is wrong.
I actually texted my sisters the other night and I said, this is the weirdest feeling. Like, I was cozy in my bed. My kids were fed. I had little candles going. I was watching a really cool show. And I just felt so content.
Yeah.
And I texted my sisters. I'm like, I can't describe how nice this feels. But at the same time, I'm just like, what are you forgetting?
You're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, it's like, why are you constantly, and my sister's like, you got to realize it's okay to be content.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're forget. Like, I'm like, I feel like I'm forgetting something. I feel like something major I forgot to do, and I'm going to realize it at any moment, and I'm going to just have a complete shot of whatever that stuff is that makes your gut bigger. Cholesterol. No. Cortisol. Whatever. Steroids.
Yeah.
Just like that shit that's like, huh!
You're anxious about not being anxious.
Yeah.
That's exactly like, what I told my therapist last week. Yep.
I can't win. It's like, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But should I be?
Right. It's the absence.
Do I deserve to be?
The absence of anxiety gives us anxiety. Because we're so used to feeling it. So it feels normal. So
like
then
my
when
kids, I'm like, I don't think I'm a good mom. And they're like, oh my God, you're the best. We love you. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
but why?
It's like, I'm just making mac and cheese from the Costco pan. Like, what am I giving? What am I bringing to this table? Like, I'm literally, this is my day.
And so it's all in your head.
Yeah.
It's just,
and I think
on
this,
loop.
This last interaction, it's not that I'm upset about. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person that lets it all just sit. Mm-hmm. And then when that one thing finally happens, I cry about all the things.
Yes. Yep. I totally understand that. Yeah. It's just like the dam has burst and all the things that have been piling up just spill
and
over.
I hate crying in front of people.
Like, I hate crying, period.
Same.
I hate it.
But like, I need it to be like in the dark, in private. No one knows that I'm crying.
Yes. I'm the same way.
And my friend called me this morning and I didn't want to answer the phone because I knew because she likes to FaceTime.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. I answered it and she's like, Bethy. And I was like, wah! And I was trying to tell her, you know, how I felt. And I'm like, I just sound like a fucking baby. And I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. Oh, I don't want you to say me like this. That's what
I
you told
don't
me.
Like not being able
I was
to
like,
get
I'll come over.
Out.
And you were like, I don't want you to say me like this.
I did.
So I was like, it's okay. I am not going to force myself. If you need space, I'm here. You know I'm here. But I'm also like, I hate it. I hate crying. It does not make me feel better. Like everybody's like, don't you feel so good after a good cry? I'm like, no, I feel worse.
I have a headache.
I feel like shit. It's not cathartic for me. I don't feel good. I don't cry when babies are born. I don't cry at sappy movies. And I hate crying when I'm emotional. And I don't know what the fucked up thing is inside me that made me like this. I'm sure it's something to do with my childhood and some kind of Freudian thing. But, you know, it's just like, I hate it. I don't like it. Where Ranko is the exact opposite, where he, like, he is crying 24/7 right now over everything that's happening in the Middle East.
Of course.
We finally had to just be like, got to turn it off. Can't watch this. Can't listen to it. He's crying. But he cries at, like, commercials. He cries at, like, emotional reels. He's a crier. Where I'm just like,
I cried at Barbie. Like, I cry.
You did cry at Barbie.
Commercials, like the preview to the Super Bowl where they have like that one Make-A-Wish kid. I am crying.
Yes.
Bawling my eyes out. Cried at Guardians of the Galaxy. I do cry at stuff like that.
Okay.
But
I don't cry
my
ever.
Personal emotional health is garbage.
Right. Okay.
Like, I will cry for
someone
else.
So when it matters, you don't cry.
Yeah. I will cry for someone else in a heartbeat, not for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See? Girl. So I just have to say I really love your outfit.
Thanks.
So I'm really loving your vintage Casper sweater.
Thank you.
It's super, super cute. I'm going to take a picture of it, put it on Insta because I love it.
My friends call these my oh brother we're out there.
That's exactly what I was going to say. She's wearing jailhouse pants. Actually, I thought of Life. You know that movie with Eddie Murphy?
No.
I'm sorry. You've never seen Life with Eddie Murphy?
Dwayne's even looking at me.
What is wrong with you?
I don't think
hilarious. Dwayne is like, what?
He's like, mm-mm.
So, and Martin Lawrence, it's so hilarious. Oh my God. You will freaking love it. Okay. But it is like 1920. It's the same time period, right? So it's those type of pants. This is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
The stripy. Stripy jailhouse pants, right? Brother, where art thou? Life. Yeah. So you've got, oh my God, just wide only pie. Oh, you got to see it. You're going to love it. It's so freaking good. Oh my God, they're amazing. But yes, you're looking super cute. So if you're feeling like shit on the inside, you look so cute on the outside.
You're so sweet because that's nice.
Yeah, I love it.
You always look good.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It's because I have Maybe it's because I stayed in a mental institution for a little more than a week that I have learned some hard lessons. But doing my makeup and doing my hair and putting my clothes together makes me feel good. So I have carved out time in the morning to do that for myself.
That's good. Yeah.
And it's stupid and maybe it's really trite and maybe it's really shallow, but it makes me feel good. And so it's like if I can do that for myself, I literally spend my whole day catering to other people all day long. It's my whole day is devoted to them and their activities and their schedules. And that includes work and my husband, who I love. But it's just if I can take 1 hour in the morning and watch, you know, something on Netflix on the phone, like Gilmore Girls or Mindhunter or something, and do my makeup and do my hair and put together my outfit, it makes me feel good. And then I'm like, okay, well, at least I had this time for myself. Like,
at least I look good doing it.
Yes. Mm. If I'm going to run around all day, you know, I'm going to feel good. So
I get up and put workout clothes on because I go for a walk every day at noon. So that's great. I don't ever look put together. But my favorite part of the day is when I finish that workout and take a shower and put on this shit.
There you go. You're comfy.
Yeah.
You're cute.
And I earned it because I went on my walk.
Yes, exactly. Well, you did something for you.
I did. Squirrel. My sister just finished hiking the Grand Canyon. What? She's
can hike it?
Yeah. You want to know what it's called?
Yeah.
It's called Rim to Rim. I sent a video of her like walking it. She is singing that song, This Is Me, from the whatever, Magic Man. What is that movie?
What?
The circus guy. The greatest showman.
This is me.
Yeah. Oh, she's like walking and she's like, I'm hiking the Grand Canyon. I'm over 55, I think.
That's a great song to hike to.
Hell yeah. So I send it to my friend Jenny, who's a breast cancer survivor and just all around hilarious. And she's like, you know what, Beth? I think you and I should hike the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I think we should too. Not so much for like the views and the experience. I said, but guess what it's called?
Yeah. Why don't they just call it hole to hole?
So now when we go on walks, we can't even walk 3 miles yet. It's like a 25 mile hike, like elevation changes.
Oh, God.
And so we were gung ho, and it's like, you know what? Maybe we'll like hike the Smoky Mountains first, and then we'll do the Grand Canyon. But anytime we do anything remotely related to training for this, we just send hashtag rimming.
To each other. Love it.
Rim queens. BJ rimming. Because Beth God. And Jenny.
Yes.
I'm like, I was like, this scares the shit out of me, but I want to do it for the jokes.
It's like, there's this great Seinfeld episode where he's really upset that this dentist that he knows has converted to Judaism, and he goes to his rabbi, and the rabbi's like, well, you're upset because he converted to Judaism. You don't think his heart is in it and knows. He's like, no, I'm upset because I think he converted to it for the jokes. Like, that's why I'm upset. I'm not offended as a Jew. I'm offended as a comedian. Right. Like, that's why I converted. Right. Oh my God. So I have to say that today I am in mourning because we were not even supposed to record today, because today was supposed to be the day that Ranko and I saw Aerosmith in concert.
Oh my God, was it?
Yes. And fucking Steven Tyler.
Did he die?
Almost. He fractured his larynx. Couple weeks
you know
ago.
What sometimes you can't get Dream On to go when
Dude,
you're this old
and when
you just
you're
gotta
80.
Sing it a couple octaves lower so that you don't break your voice
yeah
box.
His larynx, so everything is canceled until next year, and it was so fucking disappointed. I really
you chose them over someone else, right?
Over Queen, right? But it's not really Queen without, it is, but it's not Freddie, right?
You're
okay,
right.
I get
and
that,
you
obviously.
Get to see them. Like,
but still.
Barring anyone dying between now and the next time. I mean, that's a real thing.
Oh my God. I fucking there. Love Queen still. They're amazing. And so, yeah. All day today I've been listening to Aerosmith angrily. Just so frustrated that he's old and he fucking fractured his larynx and that my
How
month
do you
was
do
ruined.
That? Isn't your larynx literally in your esophagus somewhere?
It's got to be a combination of like.
Did someone karate chop him at the throat?
Like the way that he sings, right? Like the power, right? And drugs, lots of drugs, and just probably not taking care of himself. And he's like, you know, he's up there. I don't know his exact age.
How old is Steven Tyler?
He's old.
You guess, I guess, we'll look it up.
78.
I'm going to guess 79.
Should I ask Siri?
Like, Price is Right. Yeah, go ahead, ask Siri.
Okay, hey Siri, how old is Steven Tyler? 75. Okay.
So he looks older than he is.
But still.
Sorry.
So, like, I was saying he's 80 to everyone I know. But, like, still, I think, you know, I would even put him at 80 because I think he's probably aged himself with drugs and alcohol and, you know, just a crazy rock. That rock and roll lifestyle, you know. And but I fucking love them. Like, Aerosmith and Queen are in my top five favorite bands of all time. So I was super, super, super pissed. And I'm sorry. And I hope he recovers well and whatever I'm supposed to say, that's nice. But right now I just feel mad. So.
But you know what? This was about me. And my trip to see Aerosmith.
And my brain money.
And my brain money.
That I spent on you. And then you
Steven
fucked
Tyler.
Me over. My God.
Fucking owe me some brain money.
Rim to rim, baby. Rim to rim. Okay.
Oh, we are getting shirts made. It's going to be amazing.
Right for a cult.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did. I texted that to you because I was doing my Jody Hildebrand research, and I always bring up that story. And I was like, we should put that on a shirt.
Yes, we should. You're ripe for a cult. Oh, my God. So, yeah. So, but generally, overall, before we jump into Jody, things are okay with you. How are things going with the kids?
Kids are good. Everybody's making it through school. You know, it's not the – Logan was pretty sick, so he was out all last week.
Mm.
And –
super fun.
I don't know if we'll ever recover from that. Like, it's just impossible when you're in high school to recover from a day off when you have so much work in one day there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And what about Harrison? What is he doing now that he's graduated?
He's working at Pizza Hut.
Okay. And, he's got a job. That's good.
Yep. He and his friend Jacob and another friend of his work at Pizza Hut.
Nice. Okay.
And having an adult child is a little weird because he's like,
adult child. I love it. Yes. Having an adult child.
It's true.
Oh, man, baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny because he'll be like, oh, I'm just going to go hang out with Jacob for a little while. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He texted me after work at 11. He's like, I'm going to go hang with my friends. I'll be home around 3. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right. It's like you're in this weird nebulous right now. Yeah. This like between worlds kind of thing.
It's
yeah.
like when I was 19, I was doing who knows what in college. Who knows what?
Right. So just because he's not in college, he's still doing the who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Just
everybody does. Everybody.
Yeah, I think so.
How about Jack? How's he doing?
His homecoming
pictures were super cute.
Oh my God. He had his first homecoming. And yeah, it was super cute. Yeah, he's doing great, actually. High school's going well for him. He's turned into a pretty cool kid, you know.
Remember when you were worried about those Jesus people in middle school?
Yes.
So pissed at him.
And preteen. All the preteen is so hard. But he's, you know, I feel like he's making good choices. And I feel like about every 6 months, we kind of have to recalibrate a little bit. He makes good choices for a little while, and then he does something stupid, and then we have to kind of recalibrate. But so far, you know.
That sounds normal.
Yeah, he's doing good. All the kids are doing good. Our special needs babe, was diagnosed with dyslexia and ADHD. So we've been navigating those waters, getting him the help that he needs that costs so much money. Oh my God. Beth, it's ridiculous, but he has to have it. And so we're just navigating that. But no, I think we're doing okay. It's just, I mean, I'm just exhausted from never stopping ever.
I know.
Ever. It is insane. But no, we're doing good. I think, you know, having this helps, having to come to, you know, to the podcast and having some time for myself and just shoot the shit and have fun.
Just even riding in the car here, I'm like, oh,
yeah, dude, nice. I can listen to my murder shows because I can't listen to those anymore now with Ava in the car, because then she says things I'm going to stab his eyes out, you know, and just repeats everything she hears in the murder podcast. And so
that's concerning.
Yeah. So I'm like, the very first time she ever repeated something from one of my murder podcasts, I was like, and this season is over. We can't listen to these in the car anymore, because she's going to go to preschool and be like, I'm going to cut your eyes out. I'm going to slit your throat from ear to ear. So I'm like,
come at me.
Yeah, exactly.
And a Wintour cut.
Just yeah. So yeah, I was like, all right, Peppa Pig it is. Let's go. So this is just how it is. But it's nice when she's in preschool and I do have those 3 hours to myself now.
Let's go by like 15-minute segments. It's so fast.
Yes, it's insane. Oh, my God. So we're going to jump right into part two, which has taken us 3 weeks to get to. But yes, here we are. Might be.
You guys are like, who are we talking about?
I know. So just to recap a little bit, if you are listening to this episode and you have not listened to part one, go back and listen to part one first, because you're going to be confused. And I just don't have time, and Beth doesn't have time to sit here all night and go over everything that we talked about in episode one. But Craigslist highlights. That's not what I meant. What's the
Cliff's notes?
Cliff's notes. Thank you. Craigslist highlights.
Craigslist too. Whatever.
So we are talking here about Ruby Frank and Jody Hildebrandt. Ruby Frank was a YouTube influencer star who had a show called 8 Passengers. Very kind of strict, crazy Mormon parenting, a lot of like tough love, but a lot of things that were very questionable. Mm-hmm. And then the YouTube channel suddenly was taken down, and she ended up going to family counseling with this woman named Jody Hildebrandt, who had her license revoked for violating HIPAA within the Mormon church. But she ended up going to counseling with her, and then the two ended up pairing up together and doing their own YouTube channels and Instagrams and podcasts called Moms of Truth. And then in August, both women were arrested on 6 counts of child abuse. While they were visiting Jody Hildebrandt, Ruby, and her youngest two children, her son escaped the house, emaciated, wounded, duct tape hanging from his ankles and wrists, saying that he was in desperate need of help. He went to the neighbors and was asking for food and water, and so they called the police, and they found his sister in Jody Hildebrandt's house in the same condition, and the women were arrested. So in part one, we talked about Ruby Frank and all that fucked upness.
Yes.
So Beth is going to take it away with Jody Hildebrandt and all her fucked upness.
Jody Hildebrandt, like, the first line in my notes is, she is shaped like a potato.
Yeah.
I
like, physically?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, she just looks like somebody forced her into an outfit. She looks like a little person or a Lego person. I don't know. There's something square about this woman.
Yeah. Like, and little people, like the toys.
Yeah. And her face.
Like, no neck.
Like, I don't. Yeah. 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 Like,
yeah. Like, shoulders up, no neck. Yeah.
Her face is. I know this has nothing to do with her at all.
That's
but,
okay. I want to hear your thoughts.
Like, she just looks like a real bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't play, and I also am extreme at being a bitch.
Yeah.
She's
got resting bitch face all the time. Like, it doesn't go away.
And she always makes it seem like you should be grateful that you are even in her presence.
Right.
And that is where I kind of took my mind the other night when I was talking about being ripe for a cult.
Yeah.
Is when you see Ruby Frankie's old YouTube videos, they're just like everyone else's, really. I mean, minus the church stuff.
Yeah.
It's just people acting dumb in front of the camera for likes, you know, it's doing things and she's all made up and everything looks very coordinated and clean and all of that bullshit.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she goes away, probably because people are like, maybe you should feed your kids.
Right. Yeah.
And I think her husband might have left her. So she was like in crisis mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, here she is sitting next to Jody Hildebrandt talking about how she was a terrible mother.
Mm.
And when you compare the two people, they're not the same.
Okay.
And so I feel like Jody Hildebrandt just like picked her out of up like a wounded sheep, a wolf and a wounded sheep, because she's like, mm-hmm. oh, you are ripe for my cult.
Yeah, right. She was right vulnerable.
Now. Very vulnerable. Yeah. She had lost all of her income. Her husband was leaving her.
Yep.
People thought she was a terrible mother. Mm-hmm. Here comes Jodi Hildebrand. She's like, have I got the stuff for you?
Right.
It all starts with my connections economy or connections.
Yeah, you're
class.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And if you're not aware, that's connections with an ex, which I've really made clear is a huge red flag of it being a cult. And
absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, here's Jodi Hildebrand, who, like, you know, took names and kicked ass and gave no shits about what people said about her on YouTube, saying, I was a terrible mother. And I realized we didn't, you know, I was a... and. Like, there was this one scene where mm-hmm. Jodi was sitting next to her mm-hmm. and she's describing how she was as a mother. And it was like selfish and this and like not
Ruby?
Nice.
Ruby was
Ruby
saying
was
these things?
Describing
okay.
herself. And then like Jodi tagged on one more that was like inconsiderate. I was like, Jesus. And Ruby's like, yes, that too. I was like, I would be like, fuck yes, my story.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No one needs you to commentate. Shit.
And Jodi just looked like she just, you just want to punch her in the face.
So tell us about who she is, where
she comes from. Okay. Now that you all know how much I hate her.
Yeah. Potato, you want to punch in the face.
Went to school. Like, this woman did go to school yeah. to become a therapist and educator.
Okay.
She has a master's degree. That's as far as she got.
Okay.
She doesn't have a doctorate.
Okay.
But I feel like she portrays herself as somebody that could
right.
or should.
She would love to be called Dr. Hildebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead, she makes up phony titles for herself.
Yes, she does.
She started Moms of Liberty, or Moms of Truth, sorry.
I was like,
Moms
wait
of Liberty,
a minute.
They're still around.
We no! need you too. That's even worse.
She founded Connections Classroom, formerly Moms of Truth, in 2007.
Okay.
Which seems like 500 years ago.
Yeah, it does, for real.
And, you know, part of me is like, well, I guess she never gave up on her dream.
Yeah.
But in 2012, so she went to school, got all of these degrees,
yeah.
was a therapist at a real, like, drug and alcohol and addiction center,
okay.
which is absolutely frightening.
Yeah.
And she she got her master's from the University of Utah in educational mm-hmm. psychology.
Okay.
Her license was put on probation in 2012 mm-hmm. when she shared details of one of her patients with her church.
Right, violating HIPAA. Yeah, that's a big deal.
And the details she shared were not true.
Oh.
And it absolutely ruined this man's life.
Oh, no.
You know, saying he was addicted to porn and sex and was just an overall bad person, and he had gone to Jodi, you know, I need help with
right
these things, and she's like, oh, I don't care.
Do we know why she disclosed this information?
Because she thinks the Mormon church could help him.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Like her
okay.
backup is the Mormon church
mm-hmm.
and she regularly does this, is she's like, I'm your therapist and my therapy includes the teachings of the Mormon church.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she has a liability for him, but I doubt it. Where
yeah.
she's, but it's just like, oh, well, you're going to just tell people
right.
what I say in our sessions at your church to see if
right.
have their culty vibes come and pick me up from my house?
Yeah, well, no, thank you.
So and what? His life got totally ruined by that.
That sucks. My God, that's terrible.
And yeah, and he was just seen as a, you know, somebody addicted to porn that was a terrible human being to everybody in that.
Especially
in
the Mormon church, right? Like,
yeah.
that's really, like, looked upon very, very badly.
So, as I was saying, she had her Connections classroom, and Jodi subscribed to it.
This is all online, right? This
yep.
whole thing is online. Okay, yep.
It's all online, and Jodi, or Ruby subscribed to it.
Okay.
You know, this is when Jodi Gleick was like, oh, look at you. You need help and you're perfect. Like, yeah. You're the perfect candidate for me. I can totally manipulate you.
Because Ruby still had this big following. I feel like even after the YouTube channel went mm-hmm. down, like, she was still yeah. had a really big
she
following.
She had a big fundamental following. She
so
did.
I'm sure that Jodi saw that, right? And was like, well, let your followers become my followers.
Yeah, this woman was not doing this out of the kindness of her heart. I'm convinced of it. She was doing it because she's like, I'm going to get you and all the people that subscribe to you. And then all the money you were making in YouTube is going to come to me.
Exactly. Because she had like 2 million followers on YouTube. That's nothing to scoff at.
She was making a shit ton of money, too. Yeah. Like a lot. And then her husband was like, I don't know. I haven't really figured out what happened.
There's not a lot of public detail about it. So
it's none of our business, but
no, yeah, there's really not a lot of public detail about their life in general, other than what you see in the videos,
which we all know is garbage.
Right. Exactly. So there's been a lot of like conjecture, like people watching these videos and taking apart minute by minute, second by second, you know, trying to figure out what their life was really like. But you can't really, because that's the content she chose to put on there.
Right.
So you don't really know what was happening.
That's just it. Yeah. It's like these posts on the Facebook mom groups. It's like, are these real?
Right.
Because this can't be real. Like the woman that found the gallon-sized jar of lube in her trunk. Like.
Oh, no. What? Rim to rim.
Rim.
No.
Yeah. Oh. It's like, is this real, or is somebody just trying to, like, you know, have something fun to do and talk about?
Right.
Were Ruby's tactics real, or was she just trying to, like, be a water cooler topic?
Sure. Right. Exactly. An influencer mom. Yeah.
Right. Jodi Hildebrand is real.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't fuck around. Yeah. Obviously, when you're duct taping people's children in your basement to prove a point, it drives me insane that these people are real and they exist.
Yeah. And that she's teaching others. She's influencing others. That's what's scary.
Yeah. And I really do. Moms of Truth is a really good name, too.
Yeah.
Like, I felt there were times where I was watching the videos of her and Ruby, and I was like, I've had this mom guilt feeling before.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel this.
Yeah.
But this isn't how I've dealt with it.
Right, like, exactly.
I don't think I need to be punished. I don't need to go to extreme measures. I don't need some potato woman telling me how to live my life.
Right, exactly.
It's so interesting because Ruby Frankie didn't seem like the kind of woman that would let anyone rule her life.
Yeah.
Or get taken advantage of that way. And that's why I'm like, there was a dynamic here that Jodi took complete advantage of.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I don't feel bad for either one of them, but I'm just saying it looks to me like Jodi saw a possible uptick in her followers and her connections in classroom. And I hate even saying it. I'm like, it just, because I'm saying it with an X.
Yeah, right? Connections.
It's like, I don't even like saying it.
Connections.
I'm reading my notes. I apologize.
Yeah, no, you're totally fine. Go for it. No, you're good. Yeah, I just think, you know, especially because Ruby and her husband were going through so much with their eldest son, who they had sent off to one of those like outdoor rehabilitation teen camps, which has been a cue several times of abuse, right? And so he had gone through that trauma, and then their eldest daughter was becoming more and more estranged, you know, and she was calling the police in 21 and 22 saying, I'm so worried about my siblings. I believe they're being neglected, you know. And so, you know, after her husband leaving her and going through that with her son and having her daughter be estranged and having the police come and
her
question
life
them.
Fell apart.
Yeah, totally.
Ruby's like, excellent.
Yeah, Jodi. Yeah,
Jodi was like, excellent. I'm going to come right up in here and show you the way.
Right.
Exactly. And it includes paying for my class.
And also, I think she probably promised her like almost like an image rehab. You know, like you've had people who have started to
fall on your sword.
Like there were followers of hers that started a petition on change.org to get her kids removed from the home because they were so concerned from what they'd seen in her videos. And so I can only imagine that Jodi was probably like, and here's an opportunity for you to start again and have a clean slate and use what you've gone through to help others and blah, 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 you know? And so I'm sure that for Ruby, it was like, oh yeah, okay, this, and I can still be in the public eye and people can still follow me and it feeds into that ego. that that narcissism, right? But it's like, okay, well, we're going to, you know, help other people.
That could this could not have backfired more.
Right, exactly. No.
For both of them.
But I want to know, how did it turn into two women on Instagram and YouTube giving parenting advice to August when her children are found duct tape and emaciated and abused?
That is why I this huge, that's why I'm like, Ruby was just a puddle.
Yeah.
Like, she had no direction.
Right.
And Jody's like, I'll give you direction, and it'll be horrible direction.
Yeah, right.
And it is like my mom says, when I got divorced, you were ripe for a cult.
Yeah. You are vulnerable.
Whenever
watch out.
Somebody goes through a huge transition like that, you are ripe for a cult. Whether it's a new MLM or, you know, you're going to be
drinking the Kool-Aid.
Going to Jonestown.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, Jodi Hildebrand is like David Koresh of, like, Mormons.
So is that a thing? So then what happened, though, between the time that, I mean, they got together to the to August when they were arrested? I mean, what could have happened?
I don't know. Like, they have – there's just not a whole lot out there about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that her son having – if her son hadn't left that house, I don't know that anybody would have known about it.
I know. Exactly. That's what's so scary about it, you know? And her neighbors were – Ruby's neighbors have come forward and said, yeah, you know, we were concerned because she would leave, and then her kids, her young kids, would be there for sometimes weeks at a time by themselves. And my thought is, where the fuck is their dad? Like, so she's off visiting Jody in Utah, and
yeah,
where
to help her
was
save
their
her
dad?
Family. But right. She's like, oh, my kids are fine. They're just duct taped in the basement.
Right. My seriously, where is Kevin through all of this?
Is his name like,
his
I'm
name
a terrible
Kevin.
Researcher,
yes,
Jesse.
No. His name is Kevin.
God.
Yeah, it's just a bad name.
It's
I know.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is.
Kevin!
Yeah, I know, exactly. Kevin!
I can just see her yelling his name all the time to where he's just like, God, I hate my life.
You're the worst. I hate you. And I can only imagine, like, being a YouTube family. It must feel like so much pressure, right?
It looks fun. Like, and if you're a viewer, you're like, God, this must be the life.
Look at them going to Hawaii,
all
going to Disney
do
World,
is
and
put their shit online, and it's just money coming in, and it's
right.
But posting for this podcast is hard.
Yeah, we don't have to leave
followers. Yeah, like, we don't.
Yeah,
but I also. I'm also just like, I just don't want people to know that much about me.
Right.
Like, I am really, I have, in the time that I have grown since probably 2011, when Eddie was born, I have posted less and less and less and less, because I'm just like, I don't want people knowing what I'm doing. I don't want people knowing where I am. I don't want people knowing anything.
Right.
Unless I feel like they should. And, like, there used to be, like, I'd have this thing where it's like, oh, I wonder why I'm not friends with that person on Facebook, why they won't friend request me or whatever. And now it's like, I don't even care.
Right. No, we're done. This is not a thing.
Yeah. I don't even care.
I think just the allure of being a mom influencer or influencer in general seems very appealing, right? And
you
like
get free shit, you get to travel,
right? And you're paid, you know. And
all
people
you gotta do is have fun online.
People respect you, and they look at you, and they, you know, you can say, "Oh yeah, I have a YouTube channel. I have 2 million followers." People go, "Wow, that's amazing! Wow, it's like it's just this instant adoration from folks." Yeah,
people
if you're
say that
successful
when you tell them you
there.
Have a podcast too. Even if you only have 4 followers. It's like, you have a podcast? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like, I do.
I know. It's a super fan thing.
But
if you've got 2 million people and every single person that follows and unfollows matters, that's a lot of pressure.
Because it's your income.
Right.
It is your income.
But it also is your ego and that part of you that is famous.
Do you think it takes a specific type? And this is the type of person I think Jody preys on. Like, I don't know that Jodi Hildebrand wanted to be in the limelight. She just knew getting Ruby Frankie would put her numbers up and get people to join her cult.
I don't know. She started this online thing. She started a Facebook page, started an Instagram page. I mean, I think she did at some point want to be known as.
Yeah.
You know,
like, taken seriously as a therapist.
Right. An intellectual. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
She wanted to be an intellectual, taken seriously in the mental health community.
Right.
And
But also, think about it. I mean, they're, look at Dr. Phil, who probably was a legitimate therapist at some point and turned into Dr. Phil that we know today, right? Like, there's a space for mental health professionals who were once mental health professionals in an intellectual sense, and then it turned into this pop star thing, right? So that's maybe the path that she was on, that she wanted to be on. And by associating herself with Ruby, she was like, I'm one step closer to that.
This is like winning the lottery. Right. I have this woman, this fallen soldier of Jesus that I need to save.
So do you know anything about Jodie's like academy or what she was teaching or their principles?
The principles of truth?
Yeah, I want to know about those. Yeah, because here she is, this mental health professional, and so I want to know what she's preaching.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
I do. Let me... Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
Sorry, again, I have a lot of notes.
I love it. And so, they're real notes, people. She's got a notebook.
It's like written. Pen and fucking paper.
Like serial killer. What is that line from... you have the handwriting of a serial killer.
I have no idea.
It's from Steel Magnolias. Oh, Weezer. I know the handwriting anywhere. You have the handwriting of a serial killer.
Steel Magnolias. You do. So her teachings involve something called the principles of truth.
Okay.
Learning to be honest, responsible, and humble. You have to dispose of distortions. Distortions.
I've heard this word so much from them.
And it's, don't all cults have like a word?
Yeah, like their own terminology, right? Yeah, yeah.
It is so, but yeah. Truth, connection, and freedom. And.
are what, like her pillars?
Those are her pillars. Like you can't, if you are in distortion, which is what Ruby was in. When she was doing everything she was doing for money and fame.
Okay.
And you were, because Ruby's like, sometimes I would just want my kids to leave me alone. And I realized I was giving them what they wanted so that they would leave me alone. And I wasn't a good mom. And I'm like, I do that all the time.
Please take this ice cream cone and shut the fuck up.
I'm like,
oh my God.
Man, they'd hate me. I do that all the time. I'm like, here's your, take it. Just leave me alone.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's like when they were on the couch, they were talking back and forth about that. Yeah. Like, I was doing this because I just wanted my kids to leave me alone because my life was so busy and so chaotic on YouTube. And I realized I needed to take a step back and get myself off this platform and return to my roots as a mother. And, you know, and that's when Jodie's like, and you're also a bitch.
Right.
But if you have distortions of any kind,
okay,
which is basically being selfish of it for any reason,
mm-hmm.
then you can't have truth, connection, true connection with anyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And freedom.
Okay. All right. So freedom from yourself, from your distortion, or I mean, is it?
It's all wordplay.
Yeah.
Like literal wordplay. Nothing they said had any, like, made any sense. It was all just a, I don't know. It was like a really bad public speaker. Like, not a public speaker, motivational speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're like, if you get rid of distortion, and I'm not going to tell you enough for a bit.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you enough about what distortion means to make you really understand it, but I'm also going to tell it to you enough to make you feel stupid if you say, what is this? I don't understand.
It's funny, because as soon as you started using that vernacular and those words, I immediately thought of Tom Cruise and Magnolia. Have you seen that movie where he's the crazy motivational speaker? Have you not seen that? Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to add that to my list,
dude,
too.
You are like the pop culture queen. How
I like
you not
music
seen these movies?
And TV. I'm not good with movies.
Oh, my God. He plays this like motivational speaker, but he's this horrible misogynist. And he's like an empower men kind of public speaker. He's disgusting, but he uses a lot of those, like his own terminology.
Right.
And like, this is my methodology. This is how your brain works.
This
is how
what
the
I
female
call Tom
brain
cruising
works.
It.
Yeah. And like, he's fucking amazing. He should have won an Oscar for it. And his performance is ridiculous. But that's immediately what I thought of was, you're right, like one of those motivational speakers that
where
sort of
they
has
just
their
say
own
words, buzzwords. Right. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Right.
If I just get rid of my distortions, and that's just it. It's such a vague word that you could make anything a distortion.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was wondering. I was like, okay, so what's freedom then? What does that mean? What does it define? What does it encapsulate?
I don't know what the definition of freedom is to her, but the connection, that's where they talked about the most, is like, now you have a true connection with your children because mm-hmm. you're no longer trying to get them out of your face.
Okay.
And if you're not, like, if you find yourself having the same problem at home, you are also in, it's called in distortion. Like, you are in it.
Okay. Okay. So it's like a state, like a right. state like of we're like all, mind like, or we physical would, being.
We live there, apparently, Jesse.
Yeah, like, we do. We are we're the queens.
Like, yeah.
We're
distortion
the
is our utopia.
I love
this
it.
This is where we reside.
Yes, I love it.
But I do too.
We're comfortable here.
Yeah. Let me sit in my warm shit.
I know. I want to be distorted.
Live I want to be distorted and I want to be left the fuck alone. I don't need connections. I don't need freedom.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. We're good. We're going to sit right here.
But yeah, it's like, oh, be uncomfortable and get out of your distortions and talk about what they are. And it's like, but what are they?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what if you did decide your kid was the distortion? Like, what happens then, Jody?
Well, it kind of sounds like that's what happened. Like, yeah. That's what I'm wondering. And I guess that's what's going to come to light maybe as these court proceedings go on, is that, like, how did it turn into child abuse, right? Like, mm-hmm. like, we already saw signs in her videos. Many people have pointed out that she was, like, using food as a tool of control with her children, mm-hmm. right? And so we saw that several times. So did it just escalate? Did that just go further? Was she, they were malnourished?
She was leaving them with Jody, it sounded like. Like, she was, they were, like, there on a,
I don't know.
You know, a camp, like one of those brainwash camps. It's like, make my child act right.
Yeah.
And I mean, said, oh, I'll take care of that with duct tape and no food.
Right. I mean, but from what the police have described, you know, her son and daughter were severely malnourished and had, like, you know, not just like wounds from the duct tape that was hanging from them, but like open wounds and cuts and gashes that had been there like before. So, you know, it sounds like this had been going on for a little while, you know, which is just, it's, and it, what's frustrating to me is that, like, when you have not just their eldest daughter who was like, shit's going down, y'all need to get invest, like, just investigate them.
And then you have Jody's niece as well. She was very, yes. She was given a lot of information.
Like, and then the public who was like, please investigate these folks. Like, these what? Kids. What? Why? Why were they not pushed? Because they're this typical suburban white family, and they can write like, and they can mask.
They're also part of the Mormon Church, and not for nothing,
right? But no, but it is true. I mean, if you're in that part of the country, LDS is very influential, mm-hmm. right? So police force may be LDS. You know, that has that almost like that. What is it, like solidarity, right? Like, we're gonna watch your back, you know. But it's, I think because they were wealthy and they were white and they were suburban and they had, you know, on the outside what looked very like a very nice life.
Yeah.
I'm sure they weren't as investigated as they should have been.
Right. It's like, oh, they're just strict parents. Oh, it's no big deal. Oh, they have their own way of doing things.
Right. Exactly. So you have to probe deeper into their life to be able to discover what's happening. And if you don't, then these kids are, and that's what happened. They just kept
the kids being abused. Themselves.
Yeah, right. And now they're in foster care. Which fucking sucks.
How are they in foster care when they have a dad?
They're in the system. I don't know if he was a charged or not. Ooh. I'm not sure. But they have been removed and they are in the system. Yeah. He is filing for custody. He didn't have custody, and I think that's why. Like, he only had partial custody, and so there's that whole mess. And so they are right now wards of the state, which is like,
I bet you Ruby like set it up so Jody would get the kids.
God. It just kills me that, like, not just these kids, but any kids who go through horrible, you know, neglect and poverty and abuse, and then they live in these situations, and then they are thrown into the foster care system, which is also fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, my God, who's going to give these kids a fighting chance? You know, so that's where they are now. I know. And while
she had so many of them,
six kids, yeah. So, and I'm not really sure, they're being really tight-lipped, obviously, because they're minors. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of information that can be, you know, publicly.
I found a few Instagram accounts for the son,
Sherry, and okay, and her Sherry. Son, yeah.
But I don't know, like, a lot of the comments were like, "Is this for real? Like, is this really him, or is this someone else?"
Right.
So it's hard to say. But
right,
you know, it was a lot of, we've been asking for help for too long.
Right, exactly.
And then there's the whole thing with her siblings knowing these kids were being abused in some way and being
Ruby's sisters.
It's like, oh, finally someone's doing so. It's like, what?
Right, exactly.
Why didn't you speak louder?
Right, exactly.
But don't worry. Please take the time to get on your YouTube channel and talk about it.
Right, like, exactly.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, they're sopping up all of the attention that Jody and Ruby are getting for their own influence, right? Their own followers.
And, you know, let's just take a moment to appreciate the picture of the pictures that are shown of them, like, in their YouTube heyday and their connections heyday.
Yeah.
And then they show them arrested.
Mm-hmm, in
and
jail.
You're like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's something satisfying about seeing just how gross they both look.
Yeah.
In orange.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yes. With no makeup and
none.
No hair tools.
None.
No, this is just, yeah. This is the people that they truly are. With all the makeup and all the filters and all the lights and everything stripped away, they're just two women who abuse children. That's all they are.
How do you spend time with your kids when you're on the videos all day long? Like, when you're making and editing and, like, how can you sit there and tell other people how to raise their kids when you, when are you doing?
I mean, I have four kids. I'm exhausted. I don't know. Six is, it's just like, I'm sure at six.
We barely make it to talk to people without being seen.
Oh my God. It's insane. And like, I just can't even imagine like how much more exhausted I would be if I had six children. So yeah, it seems like
six children that you had to constantly perform with.
Right.
Like, perform.
Right.
On TV.
And they never fully seemed comfortable to me.
Mm-mm. And they can't give consent.
No.
They cannot.
There's only one state. I think I talked about it in the first episode.
You did.
I think it was Illinois maybe. That says that now that, you know, if a parent is profiting off of a minor, you know, in these videos, that the minor needs to be able to collect an income, right? Which is amazing because there's no other states that require that. But it's been how many years now of these families who are going on YouTube and making these kinds of videos, whether it's gaming or traveling or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and
they have been making a lot of money. And I've always wondered that. I'm like, oh, are they saving this for college or whatever?
Who's this going to? Yeah.
Seeing their new houses and stuff, you're like, guess
not. Yeah, right, exactly. They keep having children because the ones they originally started with are aging out and they don't want to, they're
it's
not
like,
interesting
stay
anymore.
Relevant. Let's have more children.
Right, yeah.
I just saw that on another Instagram that I follow. It's this woman who bakes bread.
Okay.
Like, she's a homesteader. Ballerina Farms or something like that.
Okay.
Whatever. I just am mesmerized by her perfect life, and I like hate it and love it all at the same time. So I followed her. And
of course,
there was a video that I saw on TikTok where this guy was showing one of her videos and saying, doesn't this look nice?
Right.
That stove behind her, which looks like the stove that came with their 1800s house.
Exactly.
Is $20,000. He's like, you can't attain, this is unattainable. Don't follow this woman thinking you can have her life.
Right, exactly.
She's pregnant with her eighth baby.
Oh, no. Talk about rem to rem. Oh, terrible.
Yeah, I'm like, God. Why? Like,
no, it's because she can keep creating content, right? The more kids she has, the more content she can keep creating. That's exactly, she's going to be like one of those free birthers. She's going to be on Instagram, just going to slide right out of her.
Yeah.
She's going to bite the core of her teeth.
Chicken eggs in the morning, having
exactly.
a baby on the way there.
Exactly. No, it's too much. No, and there's actually a local woman that I follow. I won't say her name, but she's gathered quite a following, and she's the same way. She's like one of those homesteaders. Her children's names are like Cedar and Fox and Juniper. Yeah, right, exactly. And she like hand crochets jackets from felt, and she like, you know, makes her own cakes and like, you know, just like all the thing. Yeah.
I love it and like, hate it so much all
like,
at once.
She makes homemade Christmas garland from dried fruit.
I'm like, are you high all fucking day? Is that why you're so fucking happy?
They all wear like linen all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
when did Little House on the Prairie become the theme?
So
I want to know.
I'm just like... Okay.
Target put those dresses out and people really went for it.
Yeah, they did. Yes. So.
But yeah, the stove, like, it looks ancient.
Right.
But it's brand new.
Right.
It's just built as an old stove.
Right, exactly.
And.
But that's power. There's power and influence. That's why people keep having kids. That's why they keep posting videos. That's
I mean,
why,
I didn't
like,
keep having kids. I'm not famous. But, I guess I don't understand that. But
these women who that's their goal, that's something that they want to do and accomplish, yeah, they have to find ways to keep doing it, you know? So I don't know where Jody and Ruby went off the rails, you know, to obviously to where they ended up. Like I said, I think we'll find out more as the the testimonies start rolling in. But I mean, I think it is a dangerous slope for a woman's mental health to be an influencer.
Oh, 100%. Right? You eat a burrito and look like you're going to have a baby because you're all full of gluten and carbs. And everyone's like, oh, my God.
Right. No, you can't just eat a burrito. You have to eat a burrito and then you have to tag the restaurant. Then you have to tag the ingredients. And then you have to have your children in the shot.
And then you have to make up a routine, your workout to get rid
right.
of the burrito.
There's so much. Yeah. I mean, this is a lifestyle, right? This isn't just something that you film and throw up there. You know, it's a lifestyle.
And then, okay. Sorry, a little bit of a squirrel.
Yeah.
I've seen a new trend, and let me know if you've seen it. Okay. It's like the 18-year-old girl. It's like, this is how I make lunch for my 4 kids in a trailer park. Have you seen those videos yet?
Oh.
There's a whole new subgenre.
Oh, God.
And it is what, I mean, they say they're poor.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to say like trailer park people.
Okay.
Which is rude. It just, poor people. I don't know. I don't want to be mean.
I know.
But they brand it that way. It's like,
okay,
this is how I feed my children, 4 children as a 22-year-old stay-at-home mom in a trailer park. And I was like, what?
Okay.
And then I'm like, show me what you do.
Right.
Groceries are real expensive. And like, she's cutting chicken patties into 4s and like, here's a 4-piece chicken nugget.
Right.
And like, making all this crap that, you know, anybody could do.
Yeah.
But it's all about how I'm poor and this is what my life is really like.
It's the lifestyle.
But it's like, is this real?
Right.
Like, how do you have 4 kids and you're 22? Like, how did that work?
Because she started having them at 16? I mean,
like, that can't be
you know?
Real.
Like, no, it can be. It can be.
But why would you want to put it on the internet?
Because you want to watch it. That's why.
I don't. It
you
came
do.
Out. My algorithm is reading my, like, literally. So I went through this thing today. This creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah.
I am like watching through Instagram. I haven't like searched broken hearts or disappointment or any of that stuff.
Okay, right.
All I've done is texted my friends.
You're not like a sad YouTuber, like
no.
or a sad TikToker,
no.
right? Yeah.
I haven't even like looked up inspirational quotes, you know, like
right,
none
yeah.
of that shit. I've just talked to my friends about it.
Yeah.
And then I go to Instagram and it's like they're not responding is your closer. You know, like all these fucking things about how you're worthy and you're enough and they're the problem.
Like in your feed. Like it's recommending things to
and
you.
And I'm like,
yeah, girl.
Like in my mind, I'm like, wow, that's funny. And then I'm like, what?
Uh-uh, they're listening.
What?
Girl.
It's a little disturbing.
They are listening. Yes, absolutely.
Because that's all it was. It was like self-help, self-love, and all of this like sappy bullshit, rainy day, you're enough crap.
And it all boils down to money. That's what it all boils down to. We all want more money to have this lifestyle that we think that is going to make
money
us happy.
So that I can buy eggs.
I did see a meme that was like, it was like a shot of like a magazine cover. And it was like, Oprah's tips on how to stay stress-free at 64. And then somebody put at the bottom, step one, be a billionaire.
Yeah,
and it was like, 100%. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, it seems like, you know, money is the driver here.
Yeah,
fame
it's like,
and money
can't
and,
buy love. Money can't solve your problems. I'm like, it really put a dent in them.
A billion dents.
Yeah, I think it would, actually. I think it would solve a lot of my problems. But thanks, only people without any money issues say shit like that.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly.
It's
oh
like, I'm pretty sure if I had $5 million, I could take care of a lot of debt. I could take, you know, I could paint my house. I could.
But look, I you know, for a brief period, I was on TV. It was fun. My face was on the side of a bus. It's pretty fun. It's cool.
Oh, sure.
And people recognize you and that shit. It's fun. And I get it because it does feed your ego and you're like, it feels good
it
for people
good.
To know who you are.
I mean, you know, every now and then we'll see people that know our podcast and I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah. It feels good.
It
but then
does.
there's also so much pressure that comes with that and such a weight and so much, I think, expectations, like just unrealistic expectations, right? And that's where the mental health piece comes into play. And so
I think that's why we subconsciously don't post on the internet.
Yeah, we're just, because we're comfortable.
Like, we don't have time for people to be butthurt about our jokes.
Right, exactly.
Or you be can upset listen that to we our took 3 weeks off. Or not, but we're not going to, you know, make it a thing.
Right. Like, we can take 3 weeks off and it's fine.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we still have people that love us, and that's okay. We feel good about those people. So
exactly.
So yeah, so we'll just kind of keep you guys updated, I think, is like major, you know, turns in the story. Yeah. We can keep you guys updated on these two women and what's happening with them. But next week we're super excited. So we're doing a special spooky season episode. You gotta wear your Casper sweater again though.
First. I have a different I have Halloween tights.
Yay!
I have a Halloween sweatshirt. Like I almost wore it tonight and I'm like, nope, this will be for next week.
So next week we are having a medium on who is a trans parent who's going to talk to us about their experiences and being a parent and being a medium and all the things that they have experienced throughout their life. It's super, super freaking cool. We're really excited. It's going to be really fun.
We're going to find out if Dwayne's house is haunted.
We are. Is our studio haunted? Let's see.
It's haunted by all the dicks Jesse talks about.
The ones that you bring in your bag here, okay? I wouldn't talk about dicks unless you put them in your purse. So yeah, so we will definitely be back next week. We're gonna have a super fun, cool guest. It's gonna be awesome for spooky season. It's my favorite time of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I love
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. I'm watching all the Halloween movies. My windows are open.
I rewatched all of those movies. I can't even remember who does them, but like The Hill House and Bly Manor.
Oh, they're
Midnight
so good.
Mass,
yes.
Midnight Club, and then the new the new one, The Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh, I can't wait. I haven't started it yet.
Amazing.
I'm super excited. Yeah. So, yes, I just love, I love all the Halloween movies, all the way from like the kiddie movies. With I'm watching like, you know, Halloween, Curious Pumpkin. George. And like, yeah, exactly. It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, to Casper, you know, and then all the way to like Saw 10, you know, so it's nice, like running the gamut. Yeah. So, but I just love this time of year. I just love the season.
And it's so beautiful.
And it's cool here in North Carolina, which is crazy. Like it's never this cool. So I'm super pumped about that.
I know.
So,
it feels like it should.
It feels like fall.
Yeah.
It's insane. There was snowfall last weekend in the mountains already. I'm just like, what is happening? So
a little
warming. Spooky season is here. So yeah, again, you know, we always want to make sure to give a shout out to producer Dwayne and Crown Town Records, who makes us sound incredible and wonderful and not like shit.
Yeah.
Yes. And to all of you guys who are new listeners, we've had a bunch of new subscribers and we're super excited to have you guys on board. Go back to the earlier seasons and take a listen. It's kind of fun to see how we've evolved throughout the years.
It is. I actually have done that. Like a couple road trips back, I was like, let me listen to this from the beginning.
It's fun. It's yeah. So until next week, guys, we'll talk
to
you later.
We're going to play our game.
Oh, we forgot the game. Maybe we'll do it next. We'll do it next week with the medium. But what if she, what if he guesses the words because he's a medium, right? So maybe we should.
All right, we'll practice it another time.
Okay. All right, so next week. All right, guys, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, bye.